Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia 7-year warranty. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia has you covered.
Dorothy Duffy, Dorothy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm all right.
You've written a remarkable piece about your sister Rose, Rose Duffy. I think originally from Ballina. Is that where you're originally from? The West of Ireland?
Yes, yeah. Our family were from Ballina, and yeah. Rose, or Billy, as she's known to the family, Mitchell, was my sister.
And when did Rose die?
Rose died on the 4th of April, so just over 8-9 days ago.
Of the virus?
Yes.
Yeah. And I was struck when I was reading your poem this morning, My Sister Is Not a Statistic, that's what we got again this morning from the UK offices of Central Statistics. They've now upped the figures of the people who died from just under 11,500. They say the real death rate is probably at least 15% more because nursing homes had not been included in the official figure. So the figures are truly, truly shocking. And what your poem does is remind us that behind every figure is a sister, a brother, a father, a son, a husband, a wife, a grandfather, grandson. It's just horrific. Dorothy, would you begin, if you don't mind, would you begin by reading the poem?
Yes, sure, of course.
Yeah, please.
My sister is not a statistic. Tomorrow, when the latest deathometer of COVID is announced in sonorous tones, while all the time the bodies still mount and curl towards the middle of the curve, heaped one atop and alongside the other, my sister will be among those numbers. Among the throwaway line, among the platitudes and lowered eyes, an older person with underlying health conditions, a pitiful way to lay rest the bare bones of a life. My sister is not a statistic. Her underlying conditions were love, kindness, belief in the essential goodness of mankind, uproarious laughter, forgiveness, compassion, a storyteller, a survivor, a comforter, a force of nature, and so much more. My sister is not a statistic. She died without the soft touch of a loved one's hand, without a feathered kiss upon her forehead, without the muted murmur of familiar family voices gathered round her bed, without the gentle roar of laughter that comes with memories recalled, evoked from a time that already seems distant, when we were connected by the simplicity of touch, of voice, of presence. My sister is not a statistic. She was a woman who spanned the seven ages, a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, a sister, a friend, an aunt, a carer, a giver. My sister is not a statistic. And so she joins the mounting thousands. They are not statistics on the deathometer of COVID. They are the wives, mothers, children, fathers, sisters, brothers, the lairs of all our loved ones. If she could, believe me when I say, she would hold every last one of your loved ones, croon to and comfort them and say, you were loved. Whilst we who have been left behind mourn deep, keening the loss, the injustice, the rage. One day we will smile and laugh again. We will remember with joy that once we shared a life, we shared love, we knew joy, and survived sadness. You are my sister, and I love you.
That's so quietly powerful. Tell us about Rose. First thing I noticed there, that was so moving, Dorothy. That was so moving. I really appreciate you sharing that with us, and I really appreciate you having the courage to actually read it out at this time.
Thank you.
She was called Billy. Why was she called Billy?
Well, our mother came from Belfast originally and married my father in County Mayo. And Billy was the second daughter, and my mother gave birth to her in Belfast on the eve of King Billy's Day. And her Irish Catholic family thought it was quite ironic and funny that she should be called Billy, and the nickname stuck.
It wasn't on a birth cert.
No. Okay. Her name is Rose. And when she came to England when she was 18, mm-hmm. from there on in, she always introduced herself as Rose. So people can get very confused when her family called her Billy.
Billy. Brilliant.
And
brilliant.
Everybody else knows her as Rose.
And she went to England, what, 18?
She was 18, yeah.
From Ballina at that stage?
Straight from Ballina, yeah.
Because I know your father was the Councillor Jack Duffy in Ballina.
That's right.
So he was well known. Your family was well known. So she went to England, and what did she do in England, Dorothy?
She started out training as a nurse in St. Charles's Hospital many moons ago. And I have the detail of this because I did an interview with my sister a couple of years ago for
Brilliant.
A project I'm
Brilliant.
Doing over here. Captured all of this. She decided she didn't finish it, and then she was such a free spirit, but very innocent at the same time.
Right.
And she didn't finish her training. She had about 3 months to go, and for whatever reason, she decided, no, I want to do something else. And
okay.
So she had a myriad of jobs over the years, and she married then at 26 and had her four children, which were her absolute total life.
Yeah. And where has she, was she in hospital in the last, how was she generally for the last few years of what was her life now cut short?
The last few years, she became blind in her 60s and developed diabetes. And in the last 2 to 3 years, she just gradually deteriorated. And in January, she fractured a vertebrae in her spine. And long story short, she began to become incredibly forgetful, very frail, and this powerhouse of a woman was slowly and gradually reduced to somebody quite frail and dependent on others for her care, which her family did for years, surrounded her with love and affection and care. And she ended up 3 weeks before she died being moved to a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And in the hours after, because I wrote the poem in the hours after her death, not realizing at that time that nursing home figures were not accounted for in the daily statistics. So in a double way, she wasn't a statistic in a way.
And that's one of the, well, of the unending Sahara desert of shocking statistics and revelations about this pestilence, this awful virus. And is the way the figures are coming out. And I heard one spokesperson for nursing homes on BBC Radio 4 this morning saying they felt, the nursing homes felt like we were lambs to the slaughter, that they had been forgotten about. The PPA, the protection equipment and clothing wasn't, nursing homes weren't regarded as a priority. But you wrote the poem. Why did you write it? Do you write poetry, Dorothy? Sounds like you do.
I jot down jottings from time to time.
Okay.
I think it's a hangover from my 16-year-old self. My 16-year-old, but I have written poetry, but quietly, just for myself. I was saying to your producer that over and over in my head, in the hours after she died, it was like a drumbeat. All I could hear was all in my head was, "My sister is not a statistic. She's not a statistic," and. I had to write it down, and I just sat down, I started writing, and it just all poured out.
Yeah.
It was as simple as that, born out of grief and loss and frustration and all of that, and not being able to be with her children and her grandchildren, which we would have been all together. Yeah.
And where did she die? Where did Rose die?
She died in Chiswick, which was the nursing home in Chiswick, which was, not far from where she lived for the past, 50, 60 years. She settled in Kew in Richmond and is known by so many people. And she used to laugh and say, I'm going to have the biggest funeral in St. Margaret's, Dorothy. It's going to be fantastic. And bless her heart, of course. And I think that's part of my motivation. I did it on impulse, sending it off to the BBC. And when you do things on impulse, you don't necessarily think through by the nature of it being an impulse. And afterwards, I realized that I thought, I can't let my sister go quietly. She deserves more. She deserves lots of people to grieve her. And also, I was doing it for all the other families and down the country, because their families, their family loved ones, they're not statistics either. There's a story behind every single one of those losses.
And you especially focus in on this phrase, underlying health conditions. And you say, my sister's underlying conditions were love, kindness, belief in the essential goodness of mankind, uproarious laughter, forgiveness, compassion, a storyteller, a survivor, a comforter, a force of nature, and so much more. My sister is not a statistic. Why did you focus on that phrase? Because so much of the new language this year, we've a completely new tesseract at this stage of phrases and words and medical and non-medical, but that three-word phrase, underlying health conditions, has been used an awful lot.
I suspect it may be about managing people's anxieties around the possibility it might strike in their home and their loved ones, that the risk to them is smaller, but we must keep it rational. But for my sister, I thought, it doesn't matter if she had underlying health conditions. Mm. It doesn't matter. She was a human being who was loved and loved. And actually, she was much more than being defined by her health conditions and her death.
But without this COVID-19, she would still be alive.
She would, I am sure. And there will be many, 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 many more people as well. She's not alone in that.
How did her passing? What was the protocol there, Dorothy? Were people allowed in?
No. This was a difficult thing. And her daughter Karen, who is just an absolute star, she had been crocheting a blanket, and a beautiful, beautiful green blanket, and she'd finished it the day before her mother died. Mm-hmm. And she said, I never knew what I was doing it for. And then she realized that, actually, I've got to get this to Mum. And she got it to her mother, and they wrapped her in it. Her children, grandchildren cuddled it. They sprayed it with lavender. There were four hearts in the corners representing each one of her children. And they wrapped her little tiny body in it so that she would have something of the family with her and her loved ones.
And when were you informed that she had passed?
Saturday afternoon. Saturday afternoon, yeah.
And what is the protocol in the UK now for funerals, Dorothy? Is it the same as here?
You are allowed limited numbers, and I think it varies from local authority to local authority.
Okay.
There is only a very small, limited number of people, close family members, allowed to attend. She won't have a mass or anything like that, but she had a good friend, Father Hilary, who the night before she died, when we realised that she was going, then the carers in the home held the phone to her ear while he spoke to her. And he is one of the best people in the world for giving words of comfort at a time like this, and he's known her for 40 years, so hopefully she will have heard that. But we were going to have to wait to have a full mass and celebration, etc., for her, because she had a deep faith, and it's what she would have wanted and what we want for her.
And you were involved in the caring profession as well, Dorothy, and you got an MBE.
Yes.
What was that for?
That was for services to children with disabilities.
Okay.
I worked with children.
And obviously a lot of people do brilliant work with children with disabilities, but how come you were nominated for an MBE, which is a great honour in the UK?
Oh, it is. I feel uncomfortable talking.
I know,
about
I could hear that in your voice, sorry.
It's all right, I just want this to be about my sister.
Yeah, okay.
But she was incredibly proud, proud of it. And I had set up a number of initiatives that were supported families and their children, and my health authority nominated me for it.
Okay. Have your relatives still back in Ballinagh, Dorothy?
No.
No?
All the
Duffys are gone.
All the Duffys are gone, and peace will reign forever on the great Grambulian Plain. my brother is in Dublin. He lives in Dublin. And, my parents died many, many moons ago, which is why my sister was part mother figure to me as well. So we all slipped away. In fact, I think the other reason for my poem is that there were five girls originally.
Yeah.
And Billy was the last one besides me.
Right.
So my four girls are gone.
Yeah. Your four sisters are gone. My last visit to Ballinagh, which was about a year ago, I went in to see the Jackie Clark collection. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Jackie Clark, love him, yes.
Did you know him?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Did you?
When I was growing up, I knew Jackie Clark. He owned a fish shop in town. And he was a very well-known local man.
And in the collection, just for people, I know...
I'm going
off message now, but in the Jackie Clark Museum, please God, it'll be open soon again. When everything is open again, we have to make big efforts to support wonderful, wonderful places like this. It's one man who collected 100,000 items of maps and autographs and kept documents. He was, in the best sense of the word, he was a hoarder, and his widow gifted him to Ballinagh County Council, I presume, and they have turned a bank building in the centre of the town into this incredible museum. It's so eccentric, so... full of serendipity and but anyway, that's just my most recent memory of Ballinagh.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great place. Dorothy, God rest Rose.
Thank you.
Condolences to you, her surviving sister, other members of her four children, who obviously, from even the tone of her voice, doted on her and she doted on them.
Absolutely.
Did her husband predecease her?
No, that's a whole other story. Oh,
okay, that's the rich tapestry. That's the rich, tapestry of life.
Dorothy. Exactly. Dorothy. Yes.
And how do you, given that you've written such a remarkable poem about your sister who died from COVID-19, before your sister died, what was your frame? What were your wise words on the world as we now know it, Dorothy?
My wise words on the world.
As we know, the new world, the pestilence.
The new world. I think that, in a way, we're all grieving at the moment. Everybody. We're all grieving for the lives that we've lost and for our children's tentative and shaky and slightly precarious future. And all the little losses that they've all endured, from not being able to do their exams, which some will be pleased about, but all the celebrations and their futures. But their futures will be intact. It will come back.
Yeah.
And I think we are all grieving the losses in little tiny ways of closeness, of contact with our friends and family, of just being out in the fresh air and enjoying it and loving it. And I just hope that all people of the world pull together as one for this, really. We need to be together on this one.
Dorothy, if you can't stay with us, because you're inspiring other people to contact us. Tommy Morris, 51551, wash your hands, that's our text number. Joe at rt.ie from anywhere in the world. Tommy Morris, Tommy.
Joe, how are you?
Your phrase is, my mother was not a statistic.
I wrote last Saturday, Joe, a piece for my mother, and I'd be happy to read it for you. Elizabeth Morris from Ballyfermot, but I live in Rathangan in Kildare, and I wrote last Saturday, my mother is not a statistic. She didn't fight in the GPO in 1916, nor did she go to war in 1940, but she was a patriot. She was an Irish hero. A mother who died this week on Spy Wednesday the 8th after rearing 12 children and 39 great-grandchildren and 39 great-grandchildren when she was widowed in her 39th year when Tom, my father, died suddenly from a heart attack. She brought light to every day. She wasn't a statistic, Joe. She was a proud Irish citizen. Elizabeth from Ballyfermot won't make a movie. They won't make a movie about her, nor will they erect a statue. But she ran the marathon of life. She served this country well, with pride and dedication. Yes, my mother was a hero, not a statistic. She was a patriot and a saint. Elizabeth Morris, rest in peace. From Patrick and Maria and Thomas and Jacqueline and Caroline and Imelda and Sean and Noel and Greg and Richard and Dennis and Priscilla and my baby brother Francis, who never survived. My mother wasn't a statistic, Joe. She was a hero.
Well said, Tommy, and I knew your mother. I know you. She was a gorgeous woman, lived right opposite my own mother.
That's right, in Cladacourt.
Yeah.
We were really challenged because she went into hospital 18 months ago or a year ago, 2 years ago, and she didn't survive very well in there. And then we said the lads flew home from Canada and we gathered and we prayed. She woke up one morning and she said, time to go home. And she went home to Cladacourt. And after a short while, she said there was a number of options. And she picked a lovely residential centre. She went there. She chose it and she went there of her own will. And the staff and the friends and the people that were there, she was on the board of management of the residential centre, you know. She loved it, you know.
Yeah.
And then the virus came, and this day last week, Monday, she started to weaken. And by Wednesday, the 8th, it's by Wednesday, 5 o'clock in the morning, just on the sunrise, she slipped away, no pain. And there you have it, Joe.
Yeah, incredible. And she reared an incredible family, as we all know.
Great woman.
Yeah.
But Joe, she was from an era, and Gay was saying this to me the other day. My friend Gay Mitchell was saying this to me the other day. They were from an era, the 1920s and the 30s. They lived with what they had, and I have a fella hanging out me here.
No, it's great. It's the sound of children's laughter is what we need. It'll be our revenge on this awful pestilence. The sound of children's laughter, as Dorothy alluded to, in the years to come, the future.
Joe, can I mention them?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Another frontline worker, and they're the priests in our parishes. You know, they're the father Philip from Lucan Parish. He was with my mum. He was a good friend of my mum's in the nursing home, you know. And he took care of everything, and he blessed her, he anointed her, he minded her, and he was a very busy man, you know.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
The priests are the frontline workers too, you know.
Yeah. And my own mother has a special devotion to Father Joe MacDonald, who's left Ballyfermot now. He's a brilliant priest.
Yeah, he's up in Selbridge.
But anyway, that's one of the things she misses most, not going up and down to St. Matthew's, I can tell you.
Yeah.
But Tommy, God rest Elizabeth. She was a great woman. I didn't know Rose, Dorothy, but from you've given us all an incredible glimpse into her remarkable life. Dorothy, with your permission, and we would love, because we're getting so many requests, we would love to put your poem, My Sister Is Not a Statistic, and Tommy as well, if you wish, up on our website and on social media to let people share. I also want to remind people that today at 6:05 on RTE1 television, there's a special broadcast from the Garden of Remembrance. I presume it's going to be a regular event, tragically, remembering those who've died of COVID-19. And also through undertakers, RTE are setting up a memorial wall, so to speak, where you can pay tribute to, in a central location online, where you can pay tribute to your relatives who've passed in this time. And that comes through, obviously has to come through undertakers. Dorothy Duffy, kind regards, deepest condolences, and the love that you obviously displayed for a remarkable woman, Rose Duffy. What was her marriage name?
Mitchell.
Rose Mitchell.
Yeah.
And may she rest in peace. Dorothy Duffy, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe, and to Lisa. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All the very best.
Yeah, thank you. And Tommy Morris, thank you, and condolences as well on to you and your extended family on the passing of a remarkable woman. 51551, wash your hands, please.